Welcome to Finding Brian, a show of self-help, self-discovery, and inner growth. Each week, we look at things learned through books, podcasts, and other mediums. Learning about productivity, spirituality, and discovering what I want to be when I grow up. Hey everybody, hello and welcome to Finding Brian Podcast. This is the show that each week basically, or as whenever I possibly can, since I didn't do anything last week, if you are just tuning in and you didn't notice, but if you are a listener for a while, you just realize that I hadn't been on for about 2 weeks. And I'll get into it, into that whole little jobber here in a moment. So, but anyhow, this is the show that each week is a kind of a sounding board for my ideas, my thoughts, a bit of a audio journal, but at the same time is a means of an outlet so that I can hear what my thoughts actually are, so that I can make a more conscious decision as to where I want to go. Where do I intentionally want to head to as I try to get back to the more positive, the more full of life, younger person that I was. I have come to the conclusion that there is a fountain of youth. Now, you won't look younger, but by God, you can act as young as you feel. And I want to feel that young again. I want to be that full of life. And a lot of it has to do with my frame of mind and my adjustments to what's happening in life. And I've adjusted to some of the life changes, not so gracefully. And that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to process those life changing moments, those little rituals of life that I failed. Well, I don't know if I failed, but I stumbled on them quite ungracefully. So, but anyhow, what has been happening in the past 2 weeks? Well, luckily and thankfully, we have been working. But that's no excuse for as to why I didn't. It's not an excuse as to why I couldn't have been taping something, recording a podcast in one form, fashion, or another, because Podcast Dojo suffered it. They ended up skipping almost 2 weeks also. And some of it is my fault. Some of it is not my fault. Some of it is, well, no, actually, I'm going to correct that. All of it is my fault. I had the choice. I chose whether or not I wanted to actually record. And then there was times where my resistance got the better of me. And that's a lot of what I wanted to talk about this particular week was, wow, resistance is a pain in the butt. I don't know if anybody's actually sat down and noted when they have something particular in mind. They want to do something, and it comes down to, I've got to be more disciplined and get something, you know, taken care of. I have got to address this particular item. And the more important that item seems to be, the more resistance that puppy seems to develop. Have you ever noticed that? Because, for example, I'm trying to get the business going. I've decided, you know what? I've got one bit of major debt I have to get clear before I sit down and actually start trying to run a business. Before I start trying to get Podcast Dojo to be an actual viable business, to actually get it running down the road the way I want it to, I've got to get the Jeep paid off. We have a Jeep. We're about 2 years into payments. Got probably about another 3 years to go. And I can get it taken care of. I can get it nailed down, and we can get it cleared out here. And if we were to really buckle down, we could get it taken care of in a year. I know we could. Actually, we really buckle down, we can get it taken care of in probably about 3-4 months. But yeah, I don't think I can convince the other deciding parties as to whether or not to they want to buckle down that much. But we're gonna play a bit and see what we can do with that. The other thing that I form of resistance that I really noticed was since I'm not going to actually do the start up the actual quote unquote podcast business as of yet. I'm not going to jump headlong into something that I'm not set up to succeed with as of yet. And I'm not aiming for perfect. You can't. You never aim for perfect to get started. Get started, shoot, then aim is basically ready, shoot, aim is basically the line of thought you want to go with. But you want to make sure that you're at least in the general direction. And, you know, with having a car payment, that's not going to be it. So what I'm wanting to do instead is listening to Dan Miller. One of the things he has said is, why not write your own job description? If you're not happy with the position you're in at the moment, then why not create your own job position? Create a position that would accentuate your talents, your desires. All right. Well, I can definitely do that. And that's what I've been working on. And I've been working on this darn job description for 2 weeks now. And that's what has, when I have enough motivation to actually get to typing and to get some research done and to actually go, you know what? This is a good description as to what I want. I'll go through and I'll work on it and I'll read through it. And, you know, again, I don't know if I'm aiming for perfect or what, but it's just, I'll type it out. I'll look through it and go, yeah, that sounds really crappy. That's just, I don't want it to be this. What would you call it? A load of fluff. I don't want it to be just let me be able to just do this and we'll help out. We'll play it by ear. Now, and that's the goals that I'm setting are a bit of what I'm having problems with, because I'm wanting to make sure that I'd like to stay working with the company that I'm with. And as I work with, I would like to help this company grow and become a more dominant part for the industry that they work in, which is in hydraulic fracturing, the hauling of the sand that they use. And they can be a lot more commanding with their prices if they are viewed as a leader. At least I believe we could. Now, is that actually the actual fact? Probably not, because the oil field likes to try to spend as little money as absolutely possible. And that's very much visible and evident in when you're working for them. Because a good example is earlier this last week, we had a company we have hauled for a couple, three times, and just started up with them. And this is like our third, maybe fourth job that we've done. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we were told they're not going to pay demurrage. Now, if you're not in the oil field, you may not be familiar with the term demurrage. Now, it may be existent in other trucking industries, but demurrage is standby time. The time when you get loaded and you're waiting to finish that particular task of offloading. And so you get loaded, you go to wherever it is you're supposed to go, and you sit and you wait. That is called, from the time you set your brakes on location or your staging area, wherever, to the time you actually offload your load, you get there. That time is called demurrage in the field. Standby time is what everybody else likes to call it. So I am sitting there waiting, or we like to sit there and wait, because that's where us sand haulers actually make the most money. Now, you get some good runs from some that are really long distance where you end up driving for 6 to 8 hours one direction, get loaded and come back. Those are good paying long hauls. And then it's even better when you get back because you're usually worn out. And if you get standby time, then you got double bonus and you really make a good chunk of change. Well, the company that we were working for that told us they're not paying to merge. What they were doing is they were making us find a place to stop and set and wait until they said, okay, we're ready for you. That is equating to, say you've got the frac company, the frac job that's going on. In between jobs, or in between what they call a stage, they send away what's called a wire line down the hole. And basically it's got this big long pole on there, and on the ends a set of explosives that has that pushes out these slugs that shoot it into the rock. This is called wire line. Obviously it's just a big cable with some controlled wires attached to it, but it's called wire line. And so you send wire line down the hole. Well, I've worked frac company. I worked with Schlumberger at one time, and I know we employees of Schlumberger, while wire line's going down the hole, we are still getting paid. We are still making money as the wire line's going down the hole, doing their thing and coming out. Hour and a half, 2 hours. If they really screw up, it could be six. So we sit there, us frac employees, we get paid during that particular downtime. If they weren't able to get paid, or weren't to get paid, they said, well, we're not going to pay you while wireline's going down the hole, I can guarantee you that people would basically say, screw you, we're not doing it, and they wouldn't do the job. And that's basically what happened here at Sandstone, is the company they were hauling for said, you know what, we're not going to pay to merge. Well, we're sitting there, we're not making any money, just sitting on over at some truck stop, waiting to get the thumbs up to go get loaded, which we get loaded, we drive down the road, and it ends up being about $112 for the load is what we make, and that's it. Now, I'm sure some of y'all are going, well, that's not bad for just a single load. You're right, it's not bad, but we get paid more when we actually make when we actually get some good standby time. And so we end up not getting paid. And that's, you know, I went through and told that whole story, and I now can't even remember the point that I was going to make about it. I really love it when that happens. Holy smokes. I went through this whole long spiel about how, oh, what was it I was going to talk, making a point with that. Anyhow, see, we were talking about work. Well, heck. And, oh, it tied in so beautifully, too. Well, anyhow, that was something that happened this last week. And, man, we weren't happy at all. With the fact that we're not getting paid. And so basically, you know, Sandstone has, at least the rumor is Sandstone saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. But, oh, I almost had the point I was making again. Anyhow, but I'd love to have the trucking company to become the thought leader for trucking and for Western Oklahoma oil field, and it'd be easy because no one's doing that. There is not a Western Oklahoma oil field podcast out there, and that's one, or a Western Oklahoma oil field blog. Any of that good information is not there. It would be easy for them to be able to, oh yes, to make it to, and because we have no say other than we're not going to haul for you anymore. And to be able to fix that, see, I figured it out, yes. And to alleviate that, I believe that it would help the company if they were to be able to go be known as, hey, these are our conditions. You know what they are. Know what they are up front. Because there's been more than one time especially this last year, where people have gone, oh, well, we didn't know. What's this booking fee type of deal? Which a booking fee is if you want us to set, and not do anything and not get paid, we're still going to charge them for every 24 hours that we are, that they have us booked. Now, the employees don't, we get, still get a bit of an hourly deal, but not nearly, it's, we don't get paid like we should if we are totally loaded, which, so the frat company wants to kind of screw you over. And it's not a, in a bad way, screw you over. I mean, their job is to try to get stuff done as cheaply, because everybody sees oil filled, natural gas filled, and they see dollar signs. You've got multi-million dollar frack jobs going on. Well, there's a lot of money floating around there. See if you can grab some is the mentality. So the frack company itself has to, and the energy company has to sit there and go, yeah, well, we're going to go as cheap. You hold up on throwing, on just tossing money around willy nilly like that. They got to try to save money. The frack company's got to try to save money. Everybody's trying to save money so they can collect it, which, okay, I understand that. But you got to give them the companies reason to know that you are worth the higher price. You have that value. Cadillac doesn't charge you a whole, you know, Cadillac is known for as a luxury car. And because they are known as a luxury car, they don't sell their Coupe de Ville for $10,000. It's a luxury car. And that's the way I'd like for Sandstone to be. I want Sandstone to be the Cadillac, the BMW, the Mercedes, the luxury car, the exotic car of the sand hauling, where, all right, we do seven jobs and we're going to make buku money. Not just the drivers, us, but us as, because I like to have the ownership mentality whenever I'm working for a company, which is great to have. You want to have an ownership mentality. So to get that, because I have that ownership mentality, that's why I'm trying to create my own job position to where I can help establish a mindset, become social media, social media manager and communications manager. Two main things I want to aim at with Sandstone. I want to make sure that we have a good set of communications, good line of communications. I'd like to be that conduit from the managerial staff to the truckers, to the driver staff, and be able to make sure that they have all the pertinent information they need to be able to make sure that they know what's going on. Because we had a whole huge exodus of people last year out of the fact that no one knew what was going on. We knew stuff wasn't going good, but we didn't know whether it was, what was causing it. Was it something, some people thought it might have been mishandling in the managerial staff. Some thought, well, the oil field's about to go bust. Others were thinking, well, heck, they're just, the managerial's being greedy. I mean, we had line of thoughts from everything. We had to where the competition's gotten so fierce and undercut everybody so far that we just have no means of being able to compete. I mean, we had all sorts of rumors, and I will admit I was part of that rumor. I hate rumors, but yet at the same time, I was perpetuating one. And I think I would be able to help in that fashion, because I realize the lines of thinking, the rumors that are happening. And to be able to correct those rumors, to educate, and be able to throw that needed information down so that people would understand, hey, this is why you're probably thinking things are bad. This is why such and such and so and so is going wrong. This is why we've been sitting for 2 weeks straight. And it's stuff like that that's what I'd like to do, on top of being the main social media person for the company. So we're going to see how that runs. I've been working on it a little bit. I'm actually fixing that. As soon as I get finished here, I'm going to start typing on it. But that's just the problem. I mean, it's not like it's a 30-page job description. It's just a single page with the name, the list of duties, duties and responsibilities, and the objective of what that business is supposed to be, or what that job position is supposed to do. It shouldn't be that hard. I don't believe it should really be taking me 2 weeks to write this darn thing, but it has. And my biggest resistance right now is, I get home and I'm home for a little bit, and I want to do other things other than what I need to do. Which at the same time, I know that even if I get a 9-to-5 job, 8-to-5, anyhow, that I would still have the same problem whenever I get home after working all day in an office. Get home, just want to watch television, put on some Netflix, and instead of coming in, eating supper, saying hi to the kids, saying hi to the wife, petting the cricket dog, and going, sitting in front of the computer and commencing to do what needs to be done then. Now, it would allow for the time for me to do that a lot easier instead of deciding, well, am I going to have time to, or am I going to get called? I don't think I'm going to be, I got called. So it would allow me to be able to at least schedule. And I believe that if I start getting my scheduled in, it will help matters out a lot more. 100% better? Probably not, but it might. It should. But it allows me also to be able to be with the Rebel without a clue a little bit more and see if I could do a few last-minute corrections on him, because we've got news on the Rebel, because the Rebel himself is he's gotten better. I will admit that. He has gotten his head, well, he's put on the airs that he is wanting to work harder and wanting to actually try to apply himself to his to get school done, to get school out of the way, to get school. He realizes he's only got 5 months left, if that, and he is out of school, doesn't have to sweat about it anymore, and he is done. Yippee, hallelujah, pass the gravy to the right, you know. But one of his friends, which in all honesty, I like his friend. I like Dustin. Dustin's only, I think he's 15, maybe 16. I think he's 15. Not in school. I mean, that's still the running part of living in this town is kids just don't go to school. It's amazing how many kids do not go to school at all. And Jaden, he finds them all. I don't know how he does it, but he seems to find the ones that don't go to school. But Dustin, like I said, he's a good kid. I like him. I think highly of him, but he got, I don't know. I believe Jaden saw Dustin's little, because Dustin has this flippant lip ring. All right. Now, I can't stand the way the lip ring looks on Dustin. It looks cheap. It looks homemade. It looks poorly done. And night before last, the Rebel decided he wanted one too, and then proceeded to be surprised whenever I was throwing a fit about it. Don't understand, but he decided, I figured you wouldn't be too happy about it, or I figured you'd just poke some fun at me about it and then just let it go. And couldn't understand why me and Jana both were in his grill. And tried to tell him that was because of our rule. I mean, and I really don't know what I want to, how to actually proceed on that. I'm just, but anyhow, I'm trying the aspect on that of, because I told him, you know, he's going to have to be the one that learns that he's not going to be able to drive his pickup until he either comes up with the money to pay us or he pays the tags. And to be able to do that, he's going to have to get a job. And I've decided, you know, if he wants to make it as tough as possible, if he wants to have his hair hang down in his face, and he wants to look as unkept and as disheveled and as cruddy as he wants, I don't have the ability to say you can't. I've tried and it doesn't work. I could sit there and holler and scream and cuss and moan and groan. And all it's going to do is it's going to encourage him to do it more, because my line of thought is, and I'm picking this up from the bits of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I am showing him that there is conditional love. And so he's going to push back to test to see, all right, what conditional love are, how conditional is your love? And I'm hoping he's going to, he's not in mortal danger. I don't like the way it looks, but at the same time, he is my son. And I mean, I don't know what best way of getting him to focus on more important things and to get him out of that particular mindset, other than I should have had him attached to my hip for the past 2 years. But I am going to blame my work for that, because it would have been easy to do so, but unfortunately they decided to have a no passenger policy. Okay. I get it. Insurance wise, it costs a lot of money to have a non-employee riding in your equipment. But at the same time, I should have been thinking, hey, we need to get him his head on straight. I need to go ahead and leave and do something else. I should have, and I didn't, and I'm kicking myself for that. Would it have fixed it? Maybe not entirely, but I would have at least made darn sure who he was hanging around with when he was, because he wouldn't have been able to hang around anybody else other than the people who think like me. And right now he hangs around people who think the opposite of me. Your friends are going to be a lot more influential than your parents. Wish it wasn't like that, but it is. So working on trying to battle the influence of the loser brigade that the rebel hangs out with. And it's going to take a lot of time. And hopefully I can get it done within the next 5 months, because that's pretty much all I've got left. Actually 4 months now, because we're in February. So that's what's happening. Rebel wise. And we'll have to see how that turns out, and see if we can get something straightened out with him. We're actually going about and have decided, you know, he's not going to go for another school. We've come to the conclusion that a lot of it has to do with the fact that he doesn't have the self-confidence to be that adventurous. Now, he's self-confident enough to be stupid adventurous while around his buddies, but to be autonomous adventurous. But at the same time, I'm like, I can't remember if I was that. Well, I was a lot more. I liked being alone a lot more than what Jaden. I think he's more extroverted than what I am. But because he's always got to have his friends around. He's got to have that type of approval around him. His buddies got to tell him, basically sit around and pump him up, tell him, hey, you're cool, you're cool, you're cool. And so I don't think he is going to want, I mean, granted, you and me, we would be happy if we were told, guess what, for your senior trip, you're going to go to the American Virgin Islands and take a little sailing school because you like sailing. And, you know, there you go. You got certifications. I think that it would help him. It would give him something to do. But at the same time, I don't think he would me and Janet sit there and worry. He's like, okay, well, if we send him there, is he going to go to this boat? All right. If he doesn't, then what? If he does, great. Excellent. Then give him a little hallelujah. Thank God you did your job, did what you're supposed to, and there you go. And that's my personal confidence. I don't have the confidence that he would be responsible enough to do that. And the same as if we were to go off and say, all right, here is, you know, a little gift and go on a senior trip to wherever. And I'm sure if we were to say pick a spot in the U.S., it would probably be Colorado, all because of their new law, which, okay. But I know that if we were to have him fly up there, would he make it back? Would he make it to his hotel? Would be the next question. And it's all these little things. It's just these little steps that we've all gone through. But we sit down and we really think about our child and we go, well, he's never gone through and hailed a taxi before. Is he going to know how to hail a taxi? Or is he going to try to take the bus and try to figure out how to get there? How is he going to get to to whatever it is he's wanting to try to get to? And then so we were like, all right, well, maybe he could drive. Well, that's hell no. Not going to have him drive because we get everything all laid out for him to do whatever it is he's wanting to go to. Lay out however much money for gas, and we know if he was to drive straight there, get what he's needing, come back, he could dawdle the way, he could drive as slow or as fast as he wanted to the destination. He just, first stop needed to be at the inline destination. Don't veer off and take, you know, a 500-mile side trip, which is what he would end up doing. He'd, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to take my friend along. I've got plenty of money here. And I just know he would either stop by, pick up Dustin or one of the other crew of losers that he runs with and go, hey, I'm going to Colorado. You want to come along to Colorado with me? And I would get the call at midnight of Jaden saying, Dad, I'm out of gas. Well, where are you?
I don't know.
And then by the time he actually found out where he was, we'd find out that he was, you know, 600-700 miles off course because he thought it would be better to take this route. And that's the confidence in the parent. I don't have the confidence in him, and I'm sure he's got some of the reason as to why he doesn't have the confidence as to going out. But thought of the idea of, hey, wait a minute. Let's see about having him see if we can let life work its magic on him, because life does, will. It'll work its magic on him to where he, especially if he graduates and at least he gets his high school diploma. Please, please, please let him at least get the high school diploma. Because that way, after 2, maybe 3 years on his own, he goes, you know what? This sucks. I need a place that I can live. I'm fixing to lose my apartment. And he already bounced from a couple apartments, realized, holy crud, this sucks. I probably need to check out the military and let him go through and check out the military. And maybe he would go in with a fairly straight head and pray that that he then realizes, because that's what happened with me. I started out right out of high school. I moved in with my aunt and uncle, which was good. I was fed. I had, they made sure I had food. I had had a bed to sleep in and all that good jazz. It worked good for me. And then eventually, I mean, I got tired of living underneath their roof, and I wanted to be more quote unquote adult. I mean, I was already 21, 22 when I said, you know what? I've had enough of this. I'm going to move out. And I moved out, and I moved in with my roommate at that time, Aaron. And, and Brent is the other guy's name. So I moved in with them and had a good time for the longest time. And then Brent got himself a girlfriend that he wanted to move in with. And so he moved out. I officially moved in, lease-wise and all. And we went from there. Well, I mean, it worked, but at the same time, I was just figuring out that minimum wage is just to give you enough incentive that you want to strive to be better. Okay. And so, yeah, you can live off of minimum wage, but you ain't going to live anywhere close to other than the bottom of the hog. And so I struggled. I ate lettuce sandwiches, lots of ramen noodle, lots of lettuce sandwiches, And it was a treat if I got some soy sauce to put on top of the lettuce so that I gave it some different flavor. And it, from time to time, you know, there'd be, I would be just all sorts of glad that I had got an extra, you know, extra $5 at the end of the pay period or after the pay period. I had $5 left and I could do, you know, I might be able to go grab a couple extra different, some egg instead. And those, I call that my starvation period. Everybody has to go through the famine. You have to go through a famine to grow up. It matures you in so many ways, mentally and physically, for the adult world. And so, if you do the famine era, the hunger years, eventually you get to the point to where you're like, all right, I can do this. I've got to change something. And for me, it was, I need to change my environment. And I did. And I got into the Navy and went up and was in Chicago during the winter. And from there, went to Virginia Beach and did my A school there. From there, I went over to San Diego and was going. And from there, after did my stint in San Diego, from Dallas down to Hamilton, Hamilton, Amarillo, Amarillo, Sunray to current location. And I've been there in Canute for 8 years. And so I see if he was to go into the military, it doesn't have to be Navy. I'd like for him to be Navy, but it doesn't have to be. It would do him wonders. Did me wonders. Made a wonderful friend that I haven't got to see in 15 years. But at the same time, it's good. It helps build your character. Help me become who I am today. So what we're actually looking at doing for Jaden is, instead of sending him off to the Virgin Islands to do a sailing school that don't know if he's really interested in it or not, since he doesn't want to show any interest in anything, because then he's afraid he would be singled out by his buddies and they would lose his buddies, see if we can separate him from his buddies. Because his buddies are not going to go anywhere, because they know if they leave, their parents aren't going to give a crap. I mean, we had one of them was over at the house last night, and they're at 11, at 11 o'clock at night. Kept asking, so when are you coming home? Oh, waiting for a ride. Well, where's your ride? I don't know. Well, have you called them? Yeah. What'd they say? They'll be there in a bit. When was the last time you called them? 9 o'clock. That was 2 hours ago. Yeah. And I ended up taking him home. And no one ever knocked on our door. So this kid was going to be stuck at our house. Because the parents don't give a crap. And it just amazes me. And that's one of the things I'm sure Jaden doesn't understand. How come we give such a big crap? Why do we throw such a fit about stuff that none of his friends' parents care about? The reason that he can't relate and he doesn't understand is because none of his friends' parents give a crap. And that angers the booger out of me, to tell you the truth. Because so much potential there. And he has just said, I don't care. I'd rather poke a hole in my face, grow my hair over my nose, and stumble through life. As he once said, I just want to buy a house and chill. And every adult is just going, yeah, that would be nice to do. I'd love to just have a house and just chill. That's called retirement. But, so that's the final point I was making on for the Rebel Without a Clue. Other than that, I mean, everything's going okay. We're life-wise, I've just been kind of biding my time. Hopefully, I can get the job description down to a point that I am happy with. And turn it in and see what the boss thinks. Throw my pitch and my spiel at him and see if we can get a new job position so I'm home a lot more, so that I can be putting Finding Brian, Podcast Dojo, Hayseed Report, which is coming back. I'm really trying to decide if I want to keep the format and just be a news base, or maybe I want to take it and turn it into a social media for conservatives angle. Not 100% yet. Still thinking on that one. But Hayseed Report is coming back. But anyhow, so folks, we're going ahead and I'm going to let you go. I want to thank you very much for having a listen. And you can find me over on over at findingbrian.com, and you can also follow me. I'll see if I got to put the link up for you to follow me on Fitbit, because I am on there. I have been keeping up on the steps and stuff. I have realized, though, wanting to try to talk about is the weight loss, because wow, I'm not doing too winter on the weight loss bit. I dropped 5 pounds. I've gained 3 of it back already. A lot of it is just, I've got to change my mentality on food, because right now I will lose a lot if I go into starvation mode, which is, all right, I've only got 6 deals of soup and I'm out for 8 days. How am I going to do this? You know, that type of stuff. And so a lot of times what happens is, all right, I'm at home. There's a lot of food. There's food. All right. I need to prepare for starvation mode again. And I overeat. And I know I overeat because before I even put the last bite in my mouth, I'm going, oh, I'm full. I shouldn't have to eat until I'm stuffed. And I'm trying to cut that part back. And this winter, holy smokes, I wish we had global warming, because I'm getting really tired of the uber cold. I mean, granted, yeah, we're down here in Oklahoma, but at the same time, we're still dealing with, you know, teens and 20s. We've had a couple of 60s and 70 days, but it's like a 60 or a 70 degree day. Next day, 15 degrees high. Jiminy, what the hey? How are we supposed to do anything with that? And again, resistance jumps in on that. I'll get around and I'll sit there, be doing that and go, oh, I really need to take the dog out for a walk. And Cricket's getting antsy. We don't know what in the world the deal is. Well, Janet doesn't know what the deal is. I've got a really good idea, because she's moving. She's always having to move. She's pacing. She's having to walk around a lot. And that's because I think she's got way too much energy. And so we're actually looking at getting a treadmill. And there's a nice one that I like to get over at Walmart, and be able to use that and just put her on there and let her walk. Put it on for a 2-mile trot. And burn some of that energy off, and then do the same for Pixie. Put Pixie on there and have her walk once a day for a mile. Actually, I understood we'd have to sit there and watch them during that, you know, that time that they were out doing their little walk. But still, have them walk, and then allow me to be able to hop on there while I'm sitting around doing stuff. I could put a little board across something and be able to track. Or be able to do notes or something. You know, I could find a way of getting a laptop up there so I could do something. So, but anyhow, lots of stuff going on in the head, and I've got some great ideas. The mastermind group is going great. I've got to figure out a way of beating my resistance, and so that's going to be my quest for this coming week is. Find a way of beating the resistance so I can actually have something to talk about on next week's, because I plan on doing another one next week. So, folks, I want to thank you very much for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Till then, bye.
Does a biological determinist still like the French kid? Is Walt Whitman moving atheist? Does a tragic end befall all innocence? Are we special? Are we common at the same?
Opening song,
Ratbags by All India Radio, and the closing song, Hero Villain by Parlor Steps, can be found at musicalley.com.